Bibles tonight, turn to Genesis chapter number 21. Everybody hear me good tonight? In Genesis chapter number 21, and I want to preach tonight. You can turn there, but then we're going to back up in the chapter 16 of Genesis, but we'll be in chapter 21 of Genesis tonight. Miss Freeman's out there. My wife come out there and she said, "What you stand out here for?" Miss Freeman said, "That's his run around spot so he can get his mind clear so he can preach." And that's pretty much the truth. Amen. There's two things I do on the front porch. And I use this when I go out and knock on doors. One thing is I wait out there for somebody to come and look for people to come. I typically go out on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, stand on the porch, look for a visitor, look for somebody to come home. And, you know, that's what you ought to do. The Bible says that that prodigal son, when he's gone, said the father went out in the field and looked for him. Amen. And I believe we ought to always do that. So that's what I do. I tell a lot of people when I knock on doors, I tell them, say, "You're not going to leave me on the porch standing, do you?" And so I try to be on the porch when they roll in. And the Lord just put that on my heart a long time ago. Try to do that. But tonight I was out there studying and looking, thinking about some things tonight to preach on. I've been working on this message for a little while. And I want to preach on something I've never preached on before, never heard it preached on before. It's not because I'm smart or anything. It's just something I come across. And I think it's important. Amen. If you will, let's all stand. I'll turn to Genesis chapter number 16 and verse number 12. Now let's back up verse number 11. Chapter 16, Genesis 16 and verse number 11. And then we'll be turning over to Genesis 21 for the message tonight as far as where we'll stay. Notice what it says, Genesis chapter 16, verse 11. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard that affliction." And then the Bible says, verse 12, "And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Now, I've heard messages about Ishmael describing the lineage of Ishmael and how that it goes out into the Arab nations, and it does even today, and goes into that, and why we have the problems that we do. We know that the difference between the Arab nations and Israel today is based all the way back to the fact of the choices of Abraham and Sarah. And God had promised them a promised seed, a promised child, and they decided to act outside of the will of God. Say amen right there. And when they did that, they give birth to an Ishmael. And I want to say this, there's a very practical application there. Every time we work outside the will of God, we birth an Ishmael. That's what we do. We bring forth an Ishmael instead of an Isaac. And so anything we do out is that way. And there's a great practical teaching on that. But that's not what I'm going to preach on tonight. The Bible says he heard her affliction and he's going to let her have a child. And his name is to be Ishmael. And then verse number 12 says, "And he will be a wild man." Isn't that something? The first thing you find out, you're going to have a child and he's going to be crazy. He's going to go wild. He's going to do everything other than what you'd think he'd do. And the thought come to me, and we'll be in chapter number 21, I believe gives the answer. I want to preach tonight on why did God let Ishmael live? You ever thought about that? Why did God let Ishmael live? When David committed the sin with Bathsheba, the Bible said that the child will die. Amen. And I don't know all the understanding of that. I know God just made it that way. But here, God knew what, in chapter 16, he knew what would come of Ishmael being born and later on in his life. And what would come about even to our day. Hey, Ishmael's descendants are who attacked us in 9/11. And God knew all those things going to be. But why would God let Ishmael live? Have you ever thought about it? I mean, he could have strangled him at his birth. He could have made it where the conception was aborted naturally, that the body just refused it. He could have done many things. In fact, in chapter number 21, it talks about he comes to the point where Hagar is cast out with her son, and he's there, and the water runs out. And all. He could have let him die there, but he didn't. And I want to preach tonight on why did God let Ishmael live. And let's just look at what the Bible says. And I believe God's got an answer for every question in our life. Amen. So I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but there's just something to think about. Why did God let Ishmael live? Why did he do that for? Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. Brother Charles, can you lead us in prayer? And please pray for me tonight. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Why did God let Ishmael live? I just come across that question. I thought, you know, why is that so? And me and Elijah was talking about, he'd come down here a little bit to help me haul some things and put some things up, if you see, tonight. And we need him a little bit. And we were going home. We were talking about different things about, you know, preachers have illustrations. How do you find illustrations? What should, you know, just, you know, things like that. We were talking about it. And, you know, you never know what you're going to find in the Bible. I said, I've found out one thing about it. Whenever I've got a question and I'm studying, I know that's a good anchor spot to stop because I've got to find out why. Amen? And so this is a why. Why did God let the... And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 21. And we'll go through what I believe. There's an answer of why God let Ishmael live. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 21... and verse number 8, if you'll look there with me. The Bible says, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, Isaac has been born now. And, of course, we know that he was conceived and born. He was born when Sarah was 90, and Abraham was 100 years old. Isn't that something? And God blessed them with Ishmael. Just the opposite from that, I mean, Ishmael was born when Abraham was 90. And so some time has passed. I don't know how many, if you knew that or not, but quite a few years have passed since Ishmael was born. So Ishmael is about 10 years old at this time. And so in this passage of scripture, the Bible says, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne at Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this woman, bondwoman, shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now God told Abraham to be obedient, listen to what Sarah told him. And he was going to have to cast this out. Now, my brother preached a message on getting things right, about getting things right with God and what some things you have to do in order to get things right. Sometimes it's easy to get wrong and hard to get right. Amen. And so we see in this passage of scripture here that the child's grown. And notice what it says. It's which she had born unto Abraham, verse 9, mocking. And that word mocking is the word toschak. It's spelled T-A-S-C-H-A-Q. If it's translated to English, that's the way it's spelled. And it means to laugh, to mock, to play, to make sport of. And when she saw that here was her child being weaned, now old enough to be weaned away from the mother, she saw Ishmael making fun of Isaac, mocking him. And when she said that, she said, just like every other mama is, I ain't going to have that. Amen, ladies. That'd be a good one for ladies' meeting. Amen. I ain't going to have that. Amen. And that's how ladies are. Amen. Now, us men can say, now, oh, boy, you know, take up for yourself. Put some dirt in that wound. Go on, you'll be all right. Shake it off. But a mama said, I ain't going to have that. And she wasn't. And so she said, you got to cast her out. But here's the thing of why I believe that Ishmael was allowed to live. The Bible says there's three principles I want to give to you tonight, and I'm just going to give you from different passages. The first is found in Genesis 4:1. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, from the very first, Eve has Cain and she said, boy, I tell you, God's given me a man. You know what she was wanting to happen? She was hoping Cain was the Messiah. The Bible says that it would come from the seed of the woman. And so Eve at that very moment was hoping that Cain was the Messiah. But we know the truth about Cain, don't we? Cain was a murderer. Amen. And a hater of his brother. And one that didn't sacrifice right unto God. And a very, very selfish-minded person. And so from the very first one born, we find someone born in sin. The Bible then says over in Psalm 51:5, it says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You know what Psalm 51 is? It's David's confession about the sin that he had with Bathsheba. And in his confession, he says, "My problem is I was conceived, I was born a sinner." And he says, "From the very conception of my life, I am a sinner." Amen. Amen. The third thing is found out in Psalms 103. In Psalms 103, verse 14, the Bible says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. For as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Now here's what I'm saying. From the very first person born, they were born a sinner. And from the very point of conception, the Bible says, he said, "I was conceived, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And he says over there in Psalms 103, not only from the first conception in the verse, but from the start, he knoweth that we are just dust. Here's the thing, church. I believe that Ishmael was allowed to live because he was born in sin. You say, "Well, I don't get it." Well, you know what Sarah got mad for? Sarah got upset because he was mocking Isaac. And that word there is that tax call, that what I just said just a minute ago. Here's the funny thing about that. The Bible said in Job 14:1, "Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble." Amen. Somebody said, "Well, my babies never do wrong." Yes, they do. Let me assure you. And what you do know is bad. It's what you don't know is real bad. Amen? Come on. It's what you... They don't come up and tell you all the bad things they're doing. Why, you can't hardly get a Christian to tell God all the bad things they're doing. Say amen. Now watch this. In Genesis 18:15, in chapter 18, Sarah finds out the angels come in and meet with Abraham, and they say, "About you're going to have a child born." When they say that, you know what Sarah does? The Bible says she stood in the tent door and laughed. In fact, it is so noted that they look at Abraham and said, "Your wife, Sarah, laughed." Why did she laugh? And she goes as far as say this. She says, "Then Sarah denied." She denied. What's she doing? Lying. She denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." You know what that word is? It's the same word she caught Ishmael doing. It's the same word. It's translated laugh. It's translated sport. It's translated mock. And it's the same exact word. You know what a lot of people have a problem with sinners? And they can't ever go out and reach out for a sinner because they see themselves in them. They can't ever love a sinner. I don't say and forgive the sin. We can't forgive sin. I ain't never been able to forgive sin because I don't have enough. I'm not the sinless one. It's not my job to forgive sin. Amen. Amen? It's God's job. But a lot of people can't ever help the sinner because when they look at the sinner, they see themselves. Amen. And what she did, she said, "You got to get him out of here because he is mocking my son." But she'd forgot all about the time when she laughed, mocked about even having that son. You say, "Preacher, why did Ishmael get to live?" Number one, he was born in sin just like every one of us. Amen. And listen to this. No baby ever chose to be born. Right. And no baby ever chose who to be born to. Right. and nobody ever chose the situation that they were going to be born into. And God knows that. And God knows our frame. And God knows that we're born in sin and we're conceived in sin, and He knows our weakness. And so God let Ishmael live because he was born in sin. That makes sense. Makes perfect sense. Why would you kill that baby? Why would you destroy that baby and not every other baby? Amen. That's the first thing. Number two, look at Genesis right here in 21, verse number 11. You got your Bibles open? The Bible says this: "And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because his son." What thing was grievous? The fact that he was going to get rid of him. It was very grievous. He said that there's a child truth about this. This is my son. He's part of me. There's a truth about his child. And then notice what it says in verse 12. "And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee," listen, "in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now it's funny, what got him in trouble was listening to Sarah. And now what's going to get him out of trouble is listening to Sarah. Amen. You know why? Because Sarah got right before Abraham did. Sarah realized the mistake before Abraham did, Brother Ty. Amen. Come on, church. That's exactly what happened. Now, notice this. So there is a child truth and there is a covenant truth. I'm going to keep my covenant with Isaac. Shall the seed be called? All right? We know that. Now look at verse 13. "And also," look at this now, "and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed." Now God's going to make Israel, going to take Isaac and going to have the calling from Isaac. Why? Because he is born of Abraham and Sarah. And he said, I'm going to make Sarah conceive and have a child. I have chosen to which family I'm going to have them out of. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Ishmael hadn't got both of them there, but he does have Abraham. He's got almost like a half a covenant. Are you listening? He's got half a covenant. And why did God let Ishmael live? Well, number one, he's born in sin. Number two, he was made of the same seed. We are all made of human flesh. Amen. We're all made of human flesh. And God allows us to live because he promised to let some live. Amen. He made a creation and told them to go out and multiply. And so here is Abraham, and he's out of the will of God, but he does it. And God says, you know what? I'm not going to hold against that baby because he can't help that. I'm going to let that baby, because he is born in the flesh, I'm going to let him live in the flesh. And so he lets him do it. You there? All right, now watch this. Look at verse 14. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar." Now he did the best he could do. He's got to go. He's got to put her out. Got to put him out. God said, do it. In order to be obedient to God, he's got to do what Sarah said. Us men would roll up about that, but that's what he said. You're going to have to take your Bible and rip that chapter out if you don't believe it. Amen. A lot of us won't take correction and advice, will we? I knew I'd get quiet on that one. Amen. But that's what happened. That's what happened. Because he was slower to get right than she was, now he's having to listen to her. But what got him in trouble, he listened to her first time. Well, it's amazing how God will make you walk through the same door that got you out. Same one you left in, same one you got to come back in. Woo, that hurts, don't it? Now, Lord, watch this. Verse 14. The Bible says he gave that bottle, and he did the best he could. Now, watch this. "Putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away." Now, once you get the picture of what was happening here, He done the best he could, but the burden is now on Hagar. Put the bottle on her, hand the child to her, give the bread to her, and there she goes. And she is bearing the burden by herself, to which they both had produced. Is that right? That's what's going on. Tremendous burden. Would you agree? Can we still say that day that that is a tremendous burden? That's right. And so we see the burden of Hagar. And then we see the Beersheba hardship. The Bible says, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. She's trying to find her way. She's going this way and that way and trying to find a way to make it. And she's leaving out with a baby and a bottle and bread. That's all she's got. Baby, bottle, and bread. And now she's wandering around in Beersheba. Not a good condition at all, is it? Could you agree with me on that? Amen. Bad condition, bad way. Look at verse 15. And the water was spent in the bottle. What happens? The bottle run out. Abraham give her the best he could. In other words, he give her the bottle. She can't stay. Are you listening? That's as far as Abraham can go. That's right. And she's bearing the burden. She's carrying the baby. She's carrying, the baby's pretty old. 10 years old. Got the bottle. Got the baby. Got the bread. Now the bottle runs out. Bread's good, but bread's hard to swallow without water. Without taking water in you, it's hard to get it down. Amen. And I mean, just thinking about it, I think probably the bread had run out before the water, won't you? Most people try to keep the water to last. It's common sense, but I don't know, but I'm just saying, I believe the last thing I'd want to take is the last sip of water. Does that make sense? Just makes sense. Now, if you don't believe it, we don't have to have a theological meeting after church. I'm just saying, just kind of makes sense to me, So you don't have to believe it, that's fine. Look at verse 15, though. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She takes that baby, the bottle, and she takes him, no doubt exhausted. The very fact that she could put him under a shrub, cast him under a shrub, he must have been at the point himself was dry, the bottle's out, the water's gone. They've been wandering around in the wilderness. I'm sure she's exhausted and he's exhausted. And she cast him away. What'd she do that for? She do that because she didn't care for him? No. Verse 16 says, and she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. As far as you could pull that arrow back and shoot that arrow, that's how far she was. And she said, let me not see the death of the child. She couldn't leave him. She hung around, not close. She said, but I can't sit here and watch my child die. I just can't do it. She puts him under a shrub. She goes as far as she can go and still see him physically, yet not see him close up, not see the dryness, not see the crying, not hear the burden of it, that she can't take it mentally and spiritually, and she draws back as far as she can go. I can understand that. I'm not saying I approve, but I can say I can understand that. She had done as good as she could do, and Abraham, the best he could do is run out. Because the arm of flesh will fail you. They've both gone as far as they can go, and they can't go any further. And she goes as far as she can go and still see him. The Bible says, she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. I don't know what she's saying. I can imagine. That's all I can do. I can probably wonder, why did I ever give birth to this child? Why has this got to happen in my life? why did my life turn out the way it turned out? It had been better if I never gave birth to this child and had to go through this. To see him die like that. You know, I mean, to be in his presence when he passes. Brother Freeman, here's what I think tonight. I believe tonight, number one, God spared Ishmael because he's just a sinner like the rest of us. Number two, because he was made of the same seed just like the rest of us. And number three, because his supply was spent. What I'm saying is this. God always does for us what the armor of flesh cannot do for us. God just is that way. You know God looked at the whole situation. I'm going to get into it just a minute in the next few verses. But you know God watched the whole situation and he knew Abraham couldn't do any good. The Bible said in the New Testament, the Jews said, but we are Abraham's seed. He said, God's able to take stones and raise up Abraham's seed. That's what he says. You know what God's saying? He said, Abraham by himself can't go but so far. And Hagar by herself can't go but so far. And that's it. That's all she can do. And she said, I can't take it. I'm going to leave. And she's crying. And she's hurting. Naturally, as a mother would do. And God saw the water was spent. I want to say this. The only reason God allows life is because he, listen, everything we got is a gift. Are you listening tonight? Amen. Everything we got is a gift. Every breath we take, every sip of water we drink down, every piece of bread that we take a hold of, that is a gift of God, and God has handed to that. And brother, anytime God decides not to, you don't have to go breathe no more, you don't breathe no more. Amen. Amen. It don't matter if you're 7 or 70. When God says, that's it, that's it. God saw the water spent. The supply had run out. Won't you look at verse 17? And God heard the voice of a lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and listen, and said unto her, what aileth thee? What are you down there crying about, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Did you notice that? God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. God said, he said, what aileth you? What do you? The angels don't understand why we act like we act. You know why? Because they ain't never been where we've been.
Right. Amen.
Amen. The Bible said they desire to look into what we have. And they don't understand the way we treat God. And they don't understand the way we treat others. And they don't understand the pain, the burdens of life. Thank God that's why Christ came. Because the Bible says we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was always tempted, and always tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
Therefore, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Because we can find somebody that knows what it feels like to hurt.
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 The Bible says that, listen, the Bible says that God heard the voice of Hagar. No. God heard the voice of the lad, and that got his attention. And he says, Hagar, I know where he is. Look at this, verse 18. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Get up, arise, get up, quit pouting like you are. Quit sitting there crying. Look at verse 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with the water and gave the lad drink. Now, I personally believe the well was there the whole time. How do I believe that? Because the Bible said he had to open her eyes. She just couldn't see.
Amen.
You know what? I believe God's got well waters all over the place. But a lot of times we're so blind and we fail to let God do any work in our life and we walk by the wells about to thirst to death.
Amen.
Amen. About to thirst to death. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can have this or that in my life. And the well water's all around all the time if we just let God open our eyes up.
Amen.
Yes, amen. And God was, look at that verse 20. What does it say? And God was with the lad. I've never seen that in all the years. It just never stood out. I've read it. It just never stood out. And God was with the lad. And he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And God was with the lad. We've been studying about Joseph, haven't we? What does it say about Joseph? And the Lord was with Joseph. Why do we classify Joseph as Lord being on his side and take Ishmael and saying, God, I wasn't on Ishmael's side? Uh-oh. Because we fail to recognize that we were a sinner. And we fail to recognize of what seed we were born of. And we fail to recognize our supply has run out. Listen, if you're going to rejoice in the fact that God was with Joseph, and you're going to say Joseph must have known the Lord, then you're going to have to say, you know what? God was with Ishmael. And Ishmael must have known the Lord. Uh-oh. You say, preacher, you believe those that go out and serve that false god over there, Allah, do you think they're saved? No. But we're not talking about the nation of Ishmael. We're talking about the child, Ishmael. Are you listening? And the Bible says the child Ishmael, that God was with him. Is that in your Bible, Miss Freeman? Right there, ain't it? Big as day. And God was with the lad. You know what the problem, I believe, what happened to Ishmael is verse 21. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Uh-oh. You know what went wrong with Ishmael? Mama. Now, why would she do that? Well, because they got thrown out of the camp, and she was bitter, and they didn't think they go. No, that ain't the reason. Take your Bible and turn over to Genesis chapter 16. You got your Bibles open? Keep it open. Don't pass the place. Genesis chapter 16, verse number 1. Read it with me. Genesis chapter 16, verse number 1. Now, Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. You know what she did? She went back to mama. And Hagar took her boy right back to Egypt and let him marry up with the Egyptians and messed up his whole life. You know why God said he's going to be a wild man? That wasn't talking about when he's young. That talked about when he got married. He's a wild man, not a wild lad. And when he became a man, mama got him a wife, hooked him up with the wrong crowd. And now we have the Arabs. That's chewing ground there, isn't it? Ishmael may very well have had faith. God was with him. God was with the lamb. But his mother married him off to the world. The Bible says, Here's the thing. It's not why did God let Ishmael live. That's simple. He was born in sin. He is of the same seed. His water was spent. And a supplication to God is sacred. Whenever God hears a cry, God can't help himself. When God hears a cry, God can't. When it's just a cry of need, God just can't help himself. And God sends a messenger to try to save that soul. God just can't help. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What am I saying? Amen. People begin to call upon the Lord. People have need. They begin to reach out and God reaches down. Amen. Don't we say he reached down and pulled me out of the mire, put me on the solid rock, Christ Jesus? Isn't that what we believe? Ishmael cried and God heard it and God reached down and rescued Ishmael. Not because of what? Think about it. Not because Hagar cried. but because Ishmael cried. And God individually works on the individual. Salvation's an individual basis. Mama can't pray you in. It's got to be an individual basis. God reaches down and pulls that one up that cries and says, I'm going to take care of you. But the problem was, after Ishmael was saved, and when I mean saved, God didn't let him die. Nobody discipled him. Nobody discipled him. Oh, he's saved. Well, you know, every son needs to be married. Every daughter needs a husband. We'll just go down. I know about Egypt. Let's head back down to Egypt. Now, that's Bible or not Bible? God spared Ishmael because he was just like us. The question is not why God spared Ishmael. The question is, why did God let us live? Because we're worse than them. We're not of the seed of Abraham in any way, shape, or form. We are Gentile dogs. And yet God passed by our way. Here's the thing. God's probably let a lot of children live. And down the road, people say, man, I'll tell you one thing. Their life become a shipwreck. But the problem was, is where mama took them. It's where mama hunted out a bride at. When you hunt out a bride in the wrong place, don't be a bit surprised when Ishmael goes wild. He wasn't wild when he's a lad. He went wild, man, when he became a man. I don't know what else to say about that. That's true. That just lays out there, don't it? I don't know what you're looking down, you look at the Arab nations now, and I mean, my goodness, it's scary what they'll do. They'll kill you without even thinking about it. I mean, they got a crazy religion. That religion is not a true religion. It is the most brutal of things. And they think that if they do something to us, they get a free trip to heaven. But it's because they went wild. And Egypt, listen, Egypt is always, always a picture of sin. Amen. There ain't nowhere in the Bible, you can read it, where it's not a picture of sin. Think about it. Surely, we ain't going to turn our lads over to that garbage. Let's all stand. Pianos, come play something softly now. If you come play something, get up here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't want to look around. I look at sinners, you have to look at them from the standpoint of not what they are, what they could be. You go knock on doors, I've had them come to the door, look like that had their face slammed down into a tackle box, have so many things in their face and hooks and tattoos and everything. I've seen some unbelievable people come to doors. But you don't sit there and look at them and say, look what they are. You have to look at them what God could do for them. I'm going to say tonight, whoever you are and whatever you are, you just don't know what God could do for you tonight. If you just let Him. You just let Him. There ain't one of us here tonight can't be thoroughly blessed to God, thoroughly brought out of our wilderness, thoroughly fed and took care of, that if we go and hook up with an Egyptian, won't go wrong. But I ain't one of us wouldn't mess up. It's by the grace of God, every one of us ain't gone wild. Amen. But I'm telling you, every time you let it hook up in your life, every time it becomes part of your life, every time of Scripture. Hey, David was a man after God's own heart. But it took one night, one look, one linger, one lust, and he lost his whole testimony. He got things right with God, but man, it took years of his life away. Judgment fell and the sword followed his life, all his life. He didn't come and take him. He is in all those great battles and the sword never took David's life. But the sword took a lot of David's joy. One night of pleasure cost him years of joy. What David prayed when he prayed to get right, he said, Lord, return to me, not my salvation, return to me the joy of my salvation. You know what he said? He said, Lord, I'm saved. I just don't have any more joy in it. You know why? Because he was born in iniquity. He conceived in it. But the problem is, he went back to it. I don't know what everybody needs tonight, but I don't believe it's no mistake. I don't believe I'm preaching a message by mistake. But when we see people get saved, a lot of people say, well, they got saved, glory to God. But you got to disciple them. You got to love them. You got to take care of them. You don't sell them back out to Egypt and say, well, you know, everybody's got to have an Egypt. Everybody's got to get married. Everybody's got to, you know, whatever it is. You don't just throw them back to the world and say, well, do whatever. It'll work out all right. As long as they're saved and going to heaven, everything's all right. Really? You know what'll happen? They'll go wild. And they may not go wild as a lad. They may wait till they get older and go wild as a man. And he shall be a wild man. What's sad is at one time, the Bible said God was with him. You know how many people, how few of people in the Bible that said that God was with them? Think about today. How many people could be said this, that God is with them? And it seems like those that have God with them, the devil's so quick to try to make sure they take that and throw it away. I love you tonight. I don't know if you need to come. I'm going to let her play one more verse. When Jesus loves me, as simple as it can be. There's something you need to do tonight. You need to get right about something. Once you come on. If you got something in your life you're not getting right, look at me, church, and I'm done. I'm done. Every time you let that prick on your heart and you don't get it right, you get calloused and more calloused and more calloused. My wife, my mom used to do sewing all the time. She'd sew all them blankets and all those quilts, and she'd stick through there like that. And when she first did it, she used to wear them old thumb things, them old thimbles on her fingers. But as she got older, I noticed that she wouldn't wear them anymore. And I said, Mommy, how you doing? And she'd let that thing come up and it'd poke. She said, oh, I got a good callus there now. Don't hurt so much no more. Got a good callus there right now. That's exactly what happens. The Bible says it's hard to get a kick against pricks. It is when they're fresh. Paul got a fresh, he was fresh with the call. And God began to prick. And Paul, he said, man, that's every time that thing, that gospel hits you, it's hard for you to kick back against it because it hurts. It hurts. But the problem is the more it pokes, the more callous you get. The more excused you make yourself. The more times you say, oh, I got away with that. I got away from that night. It didn't have nothing happened to me. You know, after a while, God will just say, after a while, okay, I'll quit because it's not working. It's not working. You know what the saddest thing in a Christian life is? Think about this, church. Now, the saddest thing happening in a Christian life is to be said that God is not with them anymore. God is not with them. I remember when God was with them, but God is not with them anymore. That is the saddest thing that can be said about any Christian. God is not with them. Let's bow our heads. Brother Freeman, if you'll dismiss us tonight.